All right, so I just came back from my first grade class, right? If you guys don't know, I'm in a first grade class for my field work. And we had grammar on the schedule for our to-do list today, right? So, since they're first graders, they were on Zoom last year, so they don't really know like what everything is. So a student asked me, "Miss Khan, what's grammar?" And
Right,
like
before you answer, let's just remind our listeners that you have a degree in English
And I
and
graduated early.
you're gonna be an English teacher,
No, not an English teacher, a regular gen ed teacher. But so she asked me, what's grammar? And in that moment, I could not think what grammar was. I was like, at first, I was like, what the hell is grammar? But also, second, was like, how can I simplify it for her little first grade mind to like, actually digest? You know what I said instead of just saying the rules of writing and reading?
What'd you say?
I literally said, I was like, like if you read a text and it says, Kevin will go here, Kevin was will go here. I was like, yeah, that's what grammar is. Like, that's not the right answer there.
You have a degree
She
in
did not
English.
know what I was talking about. I was like, oh, does that make sense? She
I don't
nodded
think
her
you knew what
head.
you were talking
She
about.
nodded her head, but I know that that was like a threat to her. She did not know what was going on.
You made her more confused.
She probably went home and cried. All right, everyone, welcome back to Difficult Dish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am Mahua.
And my name is Mashnoon.
I don't know why that took him 7 years to forget to say.
Sorry, I was stretching.
All right, so today we're talking about fashion, and you guys are like, what the hell are we going to talk about regarding to fashion? But crazy enough,
There's
like,
so much to talk
yeah,
about.
both Mashun and I have grown up in a way where we wanted to express ourselves through fashion, but we both were kind of diminished and hated on because of our fashion due to culture and like by our parents and like just different factors. And his topic is a little bit different from what I experienced, but regardless, like we both kind of dealt with similar things at the end of the day. So yeah, I'm really excited.
I think it's crazy how, we both have our really extensive experience in fashion and in clothing. I've been really into it my whole life, and I've had the comments that have been said about me
Plug the
by
Instagram and
Moshin
also
Lanier.
plug the old YouTube channel that you had.
I'm not doing that. So quick side story before we get into the things, So when I was 19, I made a little YouTube video, a little three looks by Mosh Munir, a little men's fashion
You look
lookbook.
fly.
I didn't, but and don't go looking for it because it's privated and nobody can
He
see it.
was
But
the
I got
first brown boy to get it poppin'.
to get it popping, you feel me? But so yeah, I mean, like I've been posting fit pics on Instagram since I was like 18, 19 years old, and I've been into clothing for a really long time, like since I was in elementary school. And when I first thought about, or we together we thought of this idea of talking about clothing and fashion, and I had the things that I want to say, and I didn't ask you like what you want to say until later on, and then the things that you were telling me were things that I didn't even consider, and like guys don't even consider, and like I'm excited to get into it. But
Yeah, do you want to kind of talk about briefly what your stance on it is, like what you experienced, and then I'll talk about my main idea?
What one more point before I start, I'll start, but like I think it's also important to note that like the reason that we're talking about this is because like we also plan on continuing having clothing and having fashion as a part of our brands that we want to build out in our lives. Like you have a clothing line and you sell apparel and you sell your prints and your designs on clothing. And that's something that I'm gonna start doing soon with the release of my book. And I have a lot of things that I wanna do in like the fashion world. So it'll be a fun thing to talk about. But yeah, I'll start with my story. I won't make it too long, but I think it starts from my mom, when she before she got married in like early 20s, she was really into fashion, and she was always the super fly girl on the
The
planes.
woman back home, they really had the drip. Like my mom really
They were
like was
killing it.
drippy as hell with the matching salwar kameez and bags and shoes.
Does your mom just like pull up on you like mad random and just shows you
Yes.
pictures? She's like, look at this picture of me when I was
Yes.
20.
And she literally has not aged either. Your mom as well.
But what was I saying? So yeah, like my mom was really into fashion. She was always wearing a ton of jewelry. Even like my dad would tell me, he always wore like a bunch of jewelry, like a bunch of necklaces, and like it wasn't like, you know, silver or anything. It was like wood necklaces that like he would make, or like he would like his friends would give him, or like whatever, and he would find in like random markets,
you know,
in
crazy? Bangladesh or whatever. Now that you said that,
what?
You know how like now we have like defense weapons for like, you know, sexual assault, whatever, like key right. knives or like just like actual pepper spray, whatever. Back in the day, my mom used to wear a diamond ring. If anyone came near her, she would swipe them. That's what I'm saying. Fashion back then, the mentality back then was harsh, tough girls.
Yeah, but yeah. So I pretty much got it from my mom, and I remember back in like kindergarten, like when my mom would lay out the clothing for me. Like I didn't have a dresser in my room, so I had a keyboard that was on just like a keyboard stand. Because, like, I used to play piano, and she would just lay out the clothing on the keyboard, and I would always look at it. It would just be this ugly Gap t-shirt with these big cargo shorts.
Put some respect on that Gap. That 90s, 2000s Gap.
I look back at it now, and, like, I hated it back then, but, like, my mom was a couple years ahead. I took it for granted when she was giving it to me. But yeah, like, I used to love dressing myself from, like, that early on, and, like, I just had, like, a general idea of, like, clothing that I liked and clothing that I didn't like.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like a lot of kids just kind of, like, put on whatever, whether they like it or not. You know, they don't even have, like, a feeling towards clothing. It's just like, yeah, it's clothing. But, like, me, ever since I was early, I was like, I don't like that, but I like this. You know, and I feel like that's a way of thinking that not a lot of kids have. So kindergarten, then elementary school, it started growing. In middle school, I wore a uniform, and once a month we had a dress down day. And I remember the first dress down day I ever had, I wore my sister's black skinny jeans, and I wore my sister's like double laced Converse. It was like these black Converse that instead of just like one set of laces that go through like the shoe, it was like it was two laces. So it was like one lace that was black and one lace that was white. And it was just like two laces in one shoe. So it was double lace shoes. Just, you know, just for some extra drip. Pizazz. You know? Feel me?
Right.
And I wore like some neon Mayday Parade band t-shirt that was my sister's. That was really tight on me. But I loved it, right? I was like, yo, all my friends are going to love this. They don't know. Right. Because this is the first dress down day. They don't know what I'm about. They don't know what I could do.
Right.
Right? I just wore a polo.
Comments you heard.
Man, so I pull up, I think it's like sixth period at the end of the day. This one Caucasian fellow named Scott, he looks at me and he calls me over. I'm like, yeah, what's up? And he's like, I just had to tell you from the side.
Why did he have to tell you?
He had to tell me. He's like, yo, I had to tell you from the side, you really look like a girl. And that stuck with me, you know?
I'll slap the shit out of him.
I don't think... But like, you know, I don't think he was saying that in like a haha, you look like a girl. I think it's just like a genuine even though it's obviously, even though it's a dumb kind of comment to make, but he meant that in like he was like, yo, like that's crazy, like you literally look like a girl. And like that always just stuck with me, and I feel like I've heard a lot of comments like that throughout high school. You know, if I was wearing something that was like a little too tight, or something that was like a little too short, or like whatever. And like I had like my hair really long at some point, and like I get it, but at the end of the day, so like boom, high school comes, and that's when I start working at Aeropostale, and I start walking up to Goodwill and thrifting clothing by myself, and like spending like my whole check on a bag at Goodwill, and walking home, and you know, being able to really wear that clothing to school. And at the time, like my mom would obviously try to buy me as much clothing as she could. But a lot of the time it was kind of just like me doing my own thing and me trying to find clothing myself. And I think like the main part that like I want to talk about is like, obviously my mom was not with it for the most part, because, you know, at the end of the day in our culture, clothing is something that is quote unquote meant for women. And it's unheard of for a man to be into clothing. You know, a man should just wear something nice, and he shouldn't be thinking any further than that. You know, you shouldn't have to think about a necklace, you just shouldn't have to think about the tailoring of your jeans, or you shouldn't have to think about, you know, the crop of your shirt or any of that. It's just you look good and that's all, and don't worry about anything else. But yeah, I was just always really into like baggy clothing. I mean, I think I got into it when I was like 18 and I started like going out more. That's when I got into like the baggier stuff. And, you know, I was thrifting a lot. I loved all like going to all the thrift and the vintage stores in Orlando. You know, we don't have too many, but I loved going to them and shit. And obviously the big one is like my mom just called me gay, right? And, you know, now she understands that like just because a guy is into clothing doesn't mean he's gay. I think she's still like a little bit taken away by the idea, but I don't think she's, you know, as like quote unquote ignorant to like make that direct comment nowadays. But now like she's still like a little bit confused. She's like, why are you even into this in the first place? Honestly, like I'm not even trying to make myself sound like I'm some different person. I'm some different human and like there's nobody like me. But like at the time, I've just always had like this instinct inside of me that like, you know, I take in people's comments and opinions about me. And in my head, I think about it. I'm like, okay, is that opinion correct? Or is that comment correct? And if they're correct and they have some point to what they're saying, I'll take into consideration and I'll see like, okay, like how can I use this comment slash opinion to like build myself? Or on the other hand, I'll take in their comment or opinion and I'll think, okay, this is not true. Like, I'm not gay. I'm not homeless. What she's saying is wrong. So I'm just not going to care about it, you know? And that's kind of how I've rolled my whole life. So like when my mom would say these things about me, you know, I wouldn't have the patience to explain to her how, you know, I'm not gay because of the way that I'm dressing. I just really like clothing. I love like the tailoring and I love like the garmentry and learning about high fashion. And I, you know, I should have had the patience to explain to my mom like, hey, like I got this from you. I got this from dad. Like it all makes sense. But the only way that it made me feel was like, okay, my mom isn't ready for this yet. Let me not like shove this in her face as much as like I have been. Let me just do this like on my side. Like, so like when I would go out, I would like put all my jewelry like in my pockets and I would just put it on like in my car. You know, there would be times where like I would like
that's you so common like, where you have to like literally do things outside of the house. Like yeah. I used to literally wear clothing and then put like a jacket over it or like change outside yeah. when I leave the house.
And so honestly I've you know, I remember you told me that previously and like I thought about it and like I used to do the same thing too. I remember when I would want to wear like a baggy t-shirt and I didn't want to want my mom to see like how baggy my t-shirt was, I would just put a jacket on so it would just look like I'm wearing a t-shirt and jacket. But like I would just take the jacket off because like I just want to wear the t-shirt. So it didn't really make me feel some type of way, but it definitely took a lot of work to get my mom to a place of understanding that like she is now.
I think first thing that I like got from this part of the conversation is like, like you don't really hear the male side ever. Like it's usually the girls, the woman talking about things like this, because like I'll talk about it later, but there mm-hmm. are a lot of heavy things that girls have to go through because of fashion and expressing yourself in a South Asian community. But like it's interesting that I'm hearing a male's perspective because you never hear that. It's usually not common, and even if it is, it's not talked about. And second, it's crazy that you didn't like internalize those comments, because I feel like if you always get like disrespected or like hated on constantly for like what you're doing, it's so hard to not believe those things.
I think a reason why we don't hear about it as much is because I feel like, you know, like when I started making TikToks about like my clothing and stuff, my first initial DMs were like from 15, 16, 17 year old like South Asian kids, guys who wanted to dress more, but you know, their mom is making fun of them, their homies are making fun of them, like all of their boys at school are making fun of them. And I think like that's a big pushback for those kids at that age is, you know, I guess I was just like the one out of the bunch that didn't care what anybody said. And like to an extent, if they were right, if my outfits were terrible and I had no like sense of style, like, to an extent, they were correct, because, like, a lot of my outfits back then were terrible, but, you know, I just always was really into it, and that's what kept me pushing. But, yeah, I feel like, a big reason to why a lot of brown kids, a lot of brown guys are not into clothing is because, you know, it's a problem in our community in itself. Like, it's their homies that are pushing them back from wanting to do anything else. Obviously, like, this is changing as times are changing, and now it's, like, a lot more acceptable to be really into, like, these other things. Like, you know, I was thinking the other day how, like, in my high school table, or, like, in, like, my lunch table and, like, our, like, high school groups, my friends would just want to talk about, like, video games. They'd want to talk about, you know, movies, talk about girls, talk about, like, whatever dumb shit. And I was always the one that wanted to talk about, like, yo, like, let's talk about, like, clothing. Like, let's talk about business. Let's talk about, like, drop shipping. And let's talk about, like, stuff that, like, actually matters, you know? So yeah, I mean, a big reason why you don't hear a lot of brown guys talking about it, I feel like, is because they're just taught to not be into it, and if they try to get into it, they just have everybody around them telling them that it's weird, they're weird,
right?
Why are you doing that? Like,
yeah, what I was gonna say is, like, literally in the brown community that I grew up in, like Queens area, like New York guys, yeah, in general, like, they're very immature from the people that I've met, and right, like, if you do something that's not male like, not even anything far-fetched, you know? Oh, that's gay.
Right.
Oh, like, that's, like, just, like, the worst slurs, like, the worst words that you can use that has no connotation to that. And, like, I'm sure that's so discouraging for people to express themselves, because it's literally, like, your own community hating on you, and people from this generation.
It's a issue that feeds itself, you know? Because, like, if one of your homies is calling you gay, and now you're discouraged, and then if you see somebody who is trying to do what you were doing, now you're calling them gay. And then, like, right, it's just an ongoing cycle that, like, it's hard to fix the problem at its core, because everybody learns from what people tell them, you know? But all in all, I mean, we'll have a whole episode about toxic masculinity, and, like, mm-hmm, I feel like...
That's his forte.
I feel like that'll be such an interesting topic, because, again, like, you know, I've said in so many episodes, like, I feel like I didn't grow up like the avid brown kid, like the average brown, right, guy, because I didn't have, like, brown people close to me like that. So that's definitely something we'll get into later on. But yeah, okay, so, right, like, I talked a lot, so, like, I want to you know, but before we start the episode, I mean, you told me about some of the stuff that you wanted to talk about, and it had me really interested to, like, want to hear more. So yeah, I just wanted to hear more about your side, about how, like, clothing and fashion had affected you.
So let's start off light. Right? Let's talk about piercings.
Oh,
so,
boy.
So if you all don't
My mom won't let me get anything pierced, and it makes me sad. So the day I moved to New York, that same day.
That's my not happening. I'm getting my nose pierced. You literally said when you move out,
I get my nose pierced.
And you've been moved out for how long?
I'm getting my nose pierced.
Yeah.
I told him that there can only be one person with a nose piercing in this
partnership. And it's going to be me. Right, it's going to be me.
I have a nose piercing.
You're going to have to take yours out, all right.
So, I have 6 piercings, right? I have 2 cartilage piercings, I have a tragus piercing, I have my 2 earlobe piercings, and my nose piercing, right? My mom has always been taken aback by my cartilage piercings and my tragus piercings.
I never, like, why?
Because, let me tell you.
Is that not a thing in brown culture to have a lot of piercings? No. I thought it was.
She associates extra piercings on top of, like, the ones that people usually get. Like, she relates it to, like, the village people in Bangladesh. She says that, I think it's freaking pronounced I forgot the word, but okay. I said it the other day. And it relates to, like, the village women that are poor in Bangladesh. And I literally, like, clapped back the other day. I was like, did they ask to be poor?
Oh.
She was like, no. I was like, okay, so what's wrong with that? Why is that an insult?
Yeah.
She was mute.
Hush mode,
mic dropped.
Right.
She literally, like, had nothing to say. And right. I was like, what's wrong with them? Like, I have piercings and now, like, I'm correlated with these Bangladeshi women, but, like, did they do anything to you? Are they bad people?
Mm-hmm.
Are they terrorists? No. Like, they're freaking living and making their money's worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... then she resorted to, I'll pay $100 if you take out your piercings.
That's like...
And I was like, woman, keep your money to yourself. Like, yeah. I'm not taking... And I've had these piercings for, like, 5 years.
That's crazy.
Like, well, she's been literally telling me for the past 5 years. Sometimes she'll forget, but, like...
That's crazy.
She'll bring it up randomly. She hasn't even said this much about my tattoo. She actually has never said anything about my tattoo, which is crazy.
That's, like, makes no sense. Makes no
but
sense.
We can bring up tattoos in another episode.
We gotta talk about that in an episode. All right, continue.
So, yeah, like, Mashoon's point about being called gay regarding expressing yourself in, like, fashion is, like, very valid. You know, I commend you for bringing that up. But I think, like, brown girls in general have, like, a different perspective with fashion and, like, expressing mm-hmm. yourself. Because, like, I've never been able to freely just wear whatever I wanted because our bodies have been so sexualized from such a young age that, like, we don't have that privilege to, right? Like, literally, from such, like, elementary school, basically, like, oh, don't wear anything tight. And, like, even now, my mom always pulls down my shirt, like, when I'm going to the gym because it's not covering my butt. Or, like, she'll pull up my shirt because, like, my cleavage is showing. But, like, mm-hmm. I have a bigger chest, so it's going to show regardless anyway, you know? So it's, like, and it's also, like, making you not want to trust men because they're, like, oh, cover up because your brother is home, your dad is home. Like, how sick of a mindset do you have to, like, how disgusting is that you're teaching young.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Girls, like your daughters, that, like, you can't trust your family members. Like, I get that. Like, they also have had trauma where, like, things have happened and, like, they can't trust. Like, they heard the news, like, whatever. They know that you can't trust certain people, right? So they're trying to, like, help you out. But mm-hmm. also, like, I'm in the comfort of my house. Like, I'm going to freaking wear what I want. Like, mm-hmm. why the hell is my brother allowed to wear, like, shorts in the house? And, like, when I wear something like that, it's, like, the end of the world, you know? So I think regarding fashion, like, it's been such a touchy subject for me. And, like, we'll talk about body image and, like, weight in another episode. But it's so crazy how, like, the restrictions that I had on my body from, like, such a young age regarding, like, what I wear has had, like, such an influence on, like, how I view myself and what I wear and how I even am now, like, as an adult. And it's crazy. Like, I was literally telling you the other day how I'm skinny, right? There's skinny people and there's also people with, like, bigger chests. So I'm, like, on that realm. So that's something that's, like, genetics, right? Like, obviously I didn't ask for that.
Right.
So since I have that, things that I wear look different on skinnier people that have, like, a smaller chest, right? But it's more sexualized on me and more policed on me because it looks different because I have a different body shape. But it's, like, why are other girls allowed to wear, like, crop tops and, like, whatever and get away with it and it's not a big deal? But when I wear it because I have a bigger chest, it's, like, the worst thing ever. Like, I have to cover up. Like, literally, okay, now I'm, like, going off on a rant, but literally, like, control, like, the men in the house or, like, control the people in your life instead of freaking telling young girls, like, what to do and, like, what to wear.
I think that goes back to, like, I haven't seen it too much on, like, social media, but I remember, like, a couple years ago, like, whenever there was, like, an instance of sexual assault or anything related to that, like, went popular, you know, like, over social media, I think, like, the first, like, initial comments were, like, oh, like, what was she wearing?
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, like, was she drunk? Like, oh, like, you know, who did she go with? Like, oh, like, and it's all, like, I was always, whenever I saw that, I was, like, why is that the first
especially
thing
for, like, freaking, like, it, this happens to, like, five-year-olds, toddlers, too. Like, are you asking, people are also asking toddlers, like, oh, what was she wearing? Like, disgusting.
Like, when it gets to stuff like that, like, I don't even know what to say. It's like, I get so, like, confused in the way that people think, to where I just, like, stay silent. And I'm just like, if you're thinking like that, like, may God be with you. I don't know what makes you, like, make that your first question when something like this happens. But that,
you know, I've also had, like, those common brown girl stories where I've literally had to, like, what I said before, I've had to change, like, when I left the house. And, like, yeah, it's been so annoying to have, like, a double life. I know, like, once I was telling the story to Mashun, but, like, once I was literally wearing like a dress and I was wearing thigh high boots and I didn't want to change because like if you know thigh high boots you have to take the whole ass freaking thing off and like they're all the way up to like your thighs. Stomach basically, like they're long, you know. So like I put a big like trench coat on and I like closed it up when I like came home thinking that I was slick, but literally like it just opened up and my mom saw my outfit. I was like, ah shit. But like at that point I was already done with the party. I was already home. So I was like, okay, like, what is she gonna do? You know?
Yeah.
But like, that's literally the shit that I had to do. Like, cover up things with like sweaters and like baggy stuff. And then I can change later.
Yeah. Before you go on, like I was saying earlier, like, I feel like I've done similar things, but not in the same kind of like, oh, like, you know, with me dressing a certain way and you dressing a certain way, our mothers are getting upset about it for two completely different reasons. I understand that. But I just like, again, I just think it's interesting how like we both kind of did that same thing.
Yeah, I think it just shows like how worldwide this friggin' notion is. But also, I think after all these years of hearing those type of comments and experiencing those things, like obviously it's very traumatizing, and I'm still very like hurt over the things that I've heard over the past few years, and you can't really recover from that right away. But I think I'm coming to a point where I'm having like a better relationship with my body and kind of expressing myself how I want to be. I think obviously this is easier, especially if like you move out or like, you know, you're not living with like the person that constantly keeps giving you those comments. But I'm trying to find like a better relationship with my body. And like I was thinking about how hard it is for brown girls to like just exist. Like so many people on Instagram have to private their profiles because like they're scared that someone's gonna snitch on them just for like posting bikini pictures or like just literally having fun. And it's so sad how like we've been taught to censor ourselves and just enjoy ourselves in private. And yeah, I think now I'm trying to get to a point where I'm more comfortable with like what I wear and being okay with posting it and, you know, just taking baby steps. But I feel like at this point, I think culture and religion is like interchangeable. Like they're kind of equal to one another at this point. I definitely think it's like both. Like obviously in Islam you have to like cover up and be modest, like whatever, but I also think it has a lot to do with culture because they have been raised in a certain way back home and then they try bringing that mentality here. You know what also is crazy? Like I haven't been to Bangladesh since I was in first grade, so over like 20 years no actually like over like 15 years, and from what I hear, like, these countries, Bangladesh, India, whatever, they're so much more modern than us. I forget what the term is, but there's, like, this term for our immigrant parents that basically come here, leaving their home country, coming to the U.S., the Western world, and they have all of these, like, morals and values in mind, thinking that's like, what a traditional girl is or a traditional boy is.
But like, then, Bangladesh is also modernizing, right?
Yeah, since they haven't gone back in a while, they don't realize that it's modernizing. And they still, like, our parents have, like, a backwards mentality because they aren't aware that there's change going on. So they see Americans as, like, worse than back home, even though it's kind of, like, the opposite, which is crazy. Like, from what I heard, these Bengali girls, they be going to clubs, they be dressing, going to hookah lounges. Which isn't bad, but I'm saying, like, you know, they're modernizing a lot. Like, is, like, different than us. But, yeah, like, recently I went to Mexico for vacation. And it was the first time where I was able to wear a bikini in peace and not feel hate-crimed, basically. Because I didn't have those voices in my head. Because, like, that community wasn't surrounding me. And it felt so, like, nice. Like, I've never felt that much peace in my life, and I was literally just existing for myself and not caring about my body image and how I was perceived to other people. And I just, like, literally, I just, like, want to be more unapologetically myself from now on. I'm going to try my best, even though obviously it's hard now because I'm back in New York. But you know, I'm going to try my best. I think it's so important.
I think it's, like, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but, like, again, like, restating, like, what I said in the beginning, I do think that, like, it's really crazy. And, like, I advise any male listeners that we have, like, this is, like, a lesson that, like, I keep learning, like, over and over again in my life, is that, like, brown women go through so much more that, like, we won't ever understand. And, like, that whole thing that you just said about, like, the bikini in Cancun, like, I'm sure it's, like, crossed my mind before, but over the last couple of days where, like, you said it more, I've thought about it more, and, like, you know, I just wanted to say that I'm happy for you. That's all.
Thank you. You know,
I'm happy that you were able to like, live for yourself,
like,
a little bit.
Like, I remember even you mentioned how, like, your older sister experienced things that I'm mentioning, and, like, you noticed it happening, but it's, like, as a brother, like, it's kind of a unspoken privilege that you have, that you don't have to experience the same things, and it's, like, you want to help, but, like, how can you really help? Like, you just kind of see it happen, you know?
You know, you get older, and you just see things from, like, a different pair of eyes, and, right. You know, that's where I'm at right now, and, like, you know, I'm at a place where, like, I understand emotions, like, empathy and, like, perspective a lot stronger than, like, I did a couple years ago, so just coming back to, like, a lot of these things that I saw growing up is very different, so, so, yeah, I mean, any guys that are my age and, like, 22, 23 age group, or if you're younger, you know, keep these things in mind, because it's really important for you to recognize them at one point, and don't make it too long of a wait.
What I'm saying is that you should keep going with your Instagram and your TikTok, because you're really inspiring some of these young brown men.
Keep pushing through. Speaking of that, let's just talk a little bit about, you know, like, the future of us, why we want to keep doing this. I mean, I'll go first. Like, I've been into high fashion and learning about, like, actual design and production.
Yeah, this man knows about, like, textiles and, like, friggin' models and, like, designers. I've never seen that before.
I've always said, like, you know, my dream school was always the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. Whenever I go to New York, we always walk past, and I always tell you, like,
yeah, hey, we always cry.
I this has always been my dream school. I've always said that, like, I've always wanted my kid to go to that school. Hopefully he's into that kind, or he or she is into fashion. I hope. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to get really into that. I'm releasing my book, and I'm going to make a couple t-shirt designs to sell with that. You know, most of my TikToks are about clothing. I love thrifting. I love, there's a lot of stuff that I have planned for it. You know, I've always been into sneakers. I love, like, painting on my clothing and having, like, DIYing my own designs on my clothing. That's definitely something I'm going to continue for a long time. My sense of style is different. I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. There's nobody like me. You feel me?
I think my reason for loving fashion so much, I mean, I've always loved it, but, like I said, I wasn't able to express myself in high school and college, just because, first, like, you know, where I grew up, my community, and also, like, my parents, like, I wasn't fully able to. But now, like, since I've met you, I've been more into fashion, and I started realizing that since I'm so, like, into my culture and I'm so passionate about it, my fashion is, like, a direct correlation to, like, my designs, my art, like, my passion. Like, literally every single day, I have to wear something that I've made. Every single day, I wear my Joy Bangla tote bag. I either wear, like, my Air Forces that I've painted, or I'll wear, like, my t-shirts that I painted, or, like, my
Labyrinthab.com.
Labyrinthab.com, if you haven't gotten your own apparel. New apparel coming soon.
Oh!
But, yeah, I think for myself, like, it's so important for me to express myself through my fashion, especially showing people that I'm Bangladeshi and I'm proud, and showing people that I'm an artist. I have purple hair, you know, I just love expressing myself. And, like, most importantly, the reason I started selling it is because you rarely see brown, South Asian-inspired fashion. Like, you don't see your country on a shirt. You don't see things from your culture on a shirt or on a sweatshirt, whatever. And I just want people to feel represented, included. I want them to feel heard through fashion, because that's literally, like, the first thing that people see when they see you, right? Like, your clothing. So,
especially in, like, you know, I don't live in, like, a small city by any means. Like, I live in Orlando, Florida, which is a moderate size. But, like, even here, like, if I ever see somebody in something that says like Bangladesh on it, I would go crazy. I can't recall one time I've ever seen that. Imagine like a smaller city like mine, and if they saw something, like they must feel like out of this world type shit. Right. So,
and so many white people like start conversations with you. So many brown people obviously start conversations with you when they see like different language or like different things on your tote bags or shirts or whatever. And it's such a nice, like, connection type of thing, you know? Like, I've had so many supporters and white people just come up to me asking me about my tote bag or, like, recognize me because of my tote bag or my hair, whatever. But, yeah it's really nice connecting people through fashion. Yeah. But, anyway, so we got a few responses about this topic and we want to share some, you know? Mm-hmm. So the first response we got, they said, definitely would choose a different outfit to change into at school. Lemonade Mouth got it so right. So if you guys don't know, Lemonade Mouth is my favorite Disney Channel movie on top of Camp Rock. Yeah. I mentioned this in a different episode, but Mohini was my spirit animal back in the day.
Yeah.
She was half, that was still my whitewashed face. So like she was brown, but she's also half white. Mm-hmm. And I felt so seen because like she was the one brown person that I really loved. And her name is also Mo. Mm-hmm. So I related to her so much, and she also had a white boyfriend. I didn't have that, but, like, you know, she really had to, like, hide her culture, I mean, no, hide her actual identity from her parents, like, hide her boyfriend, hide her clothing, whatever. So I, like, really relate with this. Like, that was literally me. So the next one that we got is actually really heavy and very relatable. I know I responded to her with my own experience, and, you know, I commend her for telling me and being so vulnerable. I'll read it verbatim. Growing up, a lot of aunties gave me backhanded compliments about my looks, and a lot of them straight up told me I'd be prettier if I wasn't as chubby. I used to perform at Bengali shows and events where I'd wear costumes that made me feel super exposed, and I hated everyone staring at me, so I bought a whole bunch of oversized sweaters and clothes, and I quit performing and hid my body with all of that. And to this day, I still struggle with wearing anything that shapes my body, and I really don't even know what it looks like right now, to be honest, because of my body dysmorphia, which is so bad. I wish aunties knew how damaging their tiny little comments truly are. Yeah, I think I resonated with this a lot. You know, thank you again for sharing that. I don't think that they realize how damaging comments like this are, because especially, like, you've probably been hearing it for years and years now, right? Like, it's probably still haunting you in your adult years. And just, like, these continuous comments that you hear on the daily, which is kind of, like, normal now, you know? But it's still, like, on the back of your head when you're doing things, and you still hear, like, their little voice, you know? Which is so, like, hurtful, and it's so sad that you had to literally cover up your body because of these comments. And also, even more sad that, this is what I responded with, but even more sad that even if you were skinny, basically, as what they wanted, there's still something that they would want you to change, you know? Like, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. And it's sad that brown girls have to go through this.
I think it's so crazy how, like, brown guys don't get this whatsoever. They get, you know, they literally
There's still some.
Okay, yeah, but for the most part, the brown guy, like, you know what the brown guys get. Like, oh, like,
right,
you look so handsome, like, you know, like, blah, blah, like, whatever. And, you know, for the most part, that's what they get. And I think it's just, like, yeah, I mean, thank you for sharing that. I mean, I didn't see that response, but you're awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
And you got this. Like, this is such a healing journey, but I'm sure that, I think separating yourself from your parents is a big, big part of it, where you finally have that room to heal. But I think it is also, like, a therapy thing and, like, a mental journey that you have to go through and, like, start realizing that these comments don't define you, and you basically have to start seeing yourself through your own eyes instead of, like, your mom's eyes or through your parents, whatever the comments you've heard from their eyes.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. It takes a long time. But I know you got this. I got this. We all got this, you know. The last thing that we got is my grandma telling me to wear dupatta because my dad and brother are home. So I don't think you can relate to this, obviously. But, yeah, this is very common for girls. And it's so sad. Like, literally, my mom will say for me to change my clothing because family's coming over. And I'm like, why the hell do I have to change my clothing that I'm wearing comfortably at home for people coming over to my house.
And I think it's crazy how, like, you know, if you're a brother or you're a guy and there's, like, a sister in your home, like, and you're if you're the type of brother that's like, oh, like, this didn't happen to my sister, maybe it is behind, like, closed doors and you're just, like, not seeing it happen. Like, I feel like
this happens. That's what I'm saying. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to, like, not even experience this and, like, not even acknowledge this happening.
And I guess it's, you know, it's my duty as the guy on this podcast to make sure that, like, the other guys are trying to recognize these things. Because mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of us are just in a place of, like, denial. Like, oh, that doesn't happen over here. Like, that doesn't happen in my home. But right. but it probably is, you know, and you just don't see mm-hmm. it. So
I cannot wait to move out and just dress how I want in the comfort of my home without any comments and any obligation.
Should we do a moving out episode? We gotta do a lot of episodes.
I have a lot to say. Do you have any 1 second?
We went from 10 seconds to 1 second. Let me see.
30 seconds.
Let me see. 30 seconds. Now we're 30 seconds. Okay, great. How about you go first?
I don't have one yet.
All right.
All right, I'll say one.
All right.
Text your mom, like, you know
what excuse? you can't just drop that bomb.
You know what excuse I hate?
What?
I'm too busy. Well, I hate that excuse in general for anything. I'm too busy to do this, I'm too busy to do that. No, you're not. Like, first of all, if it's related to, like, talking to someone or, like, texting them, like, a simple thing,
yeah,
no, you're not. Like, yeah. If you guys look at your freaking time usage on your phone, it's probably 8 hours a day. Or less right. than that. Or, like, more than that.
More. Right.
What the hell do you mean you don't have time? And how long does it take?
You know, before you even said that, the one thing I was thinking about is, really? You know, I got upset with a certain individual recently that told me that they don't have time. And my piece of advice is, you have time. And if you think that you don't have time, you have time, you know?
Everyone has time. You just gotta put your priorities...
Put your pride aside, straight. Stop thinking that, like, you're hot shit, stop thinking that, like, you're on top of the world, and recognize that, like, you have time, and you're just making excuses because you don't want right. to face reality. So, right. you got time.
All Anyways, right. thank Anyways. You so much for listening to our podcast.
Thank you Difficult guys so Dish. Much for listening
our to our podcast. Instagram is Difficult Dish. If you want to follow our individual... Shut up. Shut up. If you want to follow... If you want to follow our individual journeys, I'm Labyrinth Ave.
I'm Labyrinth Ave. Thank you guys for listening to our podcast. Mishnu
Manir. Shut up. And okay, he's okay, Mishnu okay. Manir on Instagram.
Right.
So thank you so much for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Leave us 5 stars on Spotify. Leave us
5 stars.
Or Apple
Leave
Music.
Leave us comments too.
Download it everywhere on your computer, on your mom's computer, on your friend's computer. Talk good stuff about us. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Good office.
Bye.